Hi, I'm Christine Ming Ming Garner. I grew up living in fear, raised in a doomsday cult. They taught me I would die at a young age, that I would never graduate from high school, college, have a family, or a career. In the years since my escape, I've been learning to overcome the fear and living my life with a purpose and by design. I'm a wife, a mother of three, an entrepreneur of a seven-figure business, and I'm on a mission to guide people to overcome their fears to live a life of fulfillment as I have done. This is The Fulfilled Life with Ming Ming. Welcome to The Fulfilled Life with Ming Ming. This is where I have the amazing opportunity to chat with entrepreneurs and influencers on how it is they've overcome adversity to now live a life of fulfillment. Today, we have the amazing opportunity to hear from Blair Bryant Nichols. Blair, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you. And for those of you who don't know Blair, here's just a little bit about him. So after beginning his career representing hundreds of authors from top six publishers, Blair Bryant Nichols moved into the management of founders, entrepreneurs, executives, authors, and celebrities with various work streams, projects, and personal interests. Acting as a chief of staff manager or agent, he has a deep expertise in developing speakers for corporate events, conferences, and other thought leadership opportunities, including internal and external communications. As a manager, coach, and consultant, he enjoys helping diverse individuals and or socially driven companies foster new strategies for operations, communications, business development, and partnerships across all appropriate areas to further develop and enhance their bottom line and brand. Blair is the co-host of Inside the Green Room, a behind-the-scenes look at the ever-changing landscape of live events and the speaking business. Blair, thank you again for being with us. I'm super excited for this conversation.
Me too. Yeah, I love what you're doing and I love what this podcast is all about.
Yeah, thank you. So tell me, what does your life look like today?
So right now, I'm the director of stages for Adventure Reach. So I am helping our agency clients. We have a stage agency we launched last year, January 2020. So obviously now we're coming up on a year of where we had to make a pretty big pivot. So we are really helping our clients navigate the whole virtual and digital stage world. And as we're looking towards the end of 2021, we're starting to see, you know, in-person live stages coming back. But my life day to day is supporting our agents who are getting our clients out there on stages where they can speak to their target audiences that help build their business. So with my partner, Dolores Hirschman, in the agency, we are just figuring out how we can scale this agency, how we can better improve our operations using our CRM HubSpot to get those emails out there more efficiently and track all of that data, just everything that goes into launching a new business. We are part of a larger company called Adventure Reach, but we are almost like our own mini company within it. So AYR, Pete Vargas, our CEO, Pat Quinn, our master trainer, they're some of our clients. So we're the in-house agency for some of the people who are training some of the best speakers out there. So we kind of get the, you know, the privilege of booking and helping arrange stages for those amazing speakers. And some of our elite speakers like Bethany Hamilton and Lisa Nichols and Dean Graziosi, as well as speakers you've never heard of, but our mission is to help anyone who wants to leverage stages to help grow their business, get their message out there, and you know, speak to their target audience. So a lot of people are best kept secrets that agencies and bureaus traditionally would never talk to. And that being in that world for a long time, working with celebrities and authors was really great. But I also saw how there was hundreds and hundreds of people who would be reaching out to some of the agencies I've worked with on a consistent basis, wanting to even just be put on their website, wanting to get some attention, wanting to get help, you know, kind of getting out on stages. And they just never are, you know, going to be the right candidate for a lot of those bureaus whose business model is more built on supporting speakers who've already built their business, who've already, you know, created a lot of inbound demand for their speaking. So I knew that there was an opportunity in the market. And when I met Pete Vargas and he told me about this agency he was launching, I knew that this was like the perfect fit for where I saw a gap in the marketplace to support all types of speakers to get out there and to shift that model away from this commission only, paid only keynote space and to look at the whole variety of stages like podcasts and a lot of different digital stages that are really valuable for both, you know, the event planner to bring talented people on to share their message and story, but also for the speaker to be able to do the same and to, you know, maybe find some new customers through that or just build their brand, build their name. And, you know, as that continues, then they have the opportunity to get a lot of that inbound demand that they wouldn't otherwise be able to get until you start doing it. And getting, you know, someone to support getting you out there. So I love doing that. And on the side, I've got my BBN creative management company where I work with diverse speakers on all areas of their business, helping them primarily with speaking and what opportunities come from those speaking opportunities, but also thinking through building any other additional platforms, business channels of revenue. All of that great stuff is really exciting to me because, you know, I think we're all entrepreneurs nowadays. Maybe not all of us, but a lot of people are entrepreneurs. And if you're a speaker, you're definitely an entrepreneur, even if you've got that day job. And it can be something more than just speaking. It can be a lot of different things, whatever it is you want to do in the world.
That's so amazing. You are so speaking my language, Blair. I just love it. So tell me about the messy parts of your life. What experiences have you been through that have led you to be who you are today?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I grew up going to all Catholic school and, you know, for a long time I knew I was different than my classmates. And by the time I got to high school, I pretty much knew why. You know, growing up in Catholic school, I was not at all, you know, adverse to the feelings of shame and guilt that maybe a lot of people feel, but also, you know, adding on top of that of growing up gay. So there's a lot of depression and anxiety and fear that accompany being part of either a church or a school or a community that's consistently telling that who you are is wrong. And I, you know, I did learn in high school that, you know, it's considered a bigger sin to leave the church, to stay in the church if you disagree with their teachings than to leave. So I kind of felt like, wow, I was just given this free pass to feel better about that. But in the meantime, I had to make it through. So throughout high school, since I wasn't a great athlete and I had friends and I'm lucky I wasn't completely ostracized and bullied, but there was a lot of times I felt lonely or afraid and, you know, obviously had feelings like I had to overcome. I had to, you know, overachieve in order to make up for this fact of this part of my life that was going to somehow be disappointing or humiliating or difficult for my family or myself. And so I was a really good student. I'd watch all those movies where you'd see the star athlete or the cheerleaders and the jocks, and then there'd also always be the valedictorian. Like that would be like my opportunity to shine. That would be my big moment at the end of all of this, you know, this journey where I'd finally be getting off to college where I thought all my problems would be solved because I'd be kind of on my own and in adulthood and you know, be able to live my true life. And so I look to that opportunity as like kind of my big, you know, culmination of my whole, you know, educational experience. And so as we got to senior year, I was the only senior who took 5 APs, no study halls. I worked my little butt off trying to get to the top of the class. And it looked like that was something I was going to achieve. I, you know, towards the end of third quarter, they'd usually announce who the valedictorian was supposed to be. And in this year, and I went to a really small school, but there was apparently 4 or 5 of us who were really close. So they had to wait until all of the grades were in. They told us like, oh, it's so close. We have to wait and see how your finals go and how everything the rest of the year. So it was kind of, you know, waiting until that last minute. And then I found out that there was a rumor. There was a rumor that I was going to come out during my graduation speech. And this wasn't coming from students, as far as I knew. This wasn't coming from, you know, my peers. It was the headmaster of my school who was asking one of my teachers if this was the case. Now, I had already come out to my family. I'd already been out to a few of my friends. And it was certainly not on my heart or mind to use that stage, that opportunity to make some sort of statement that might be otherwise embarrassing to my school, to the community. I know the bishop was supposed to be there. That's not something I even that had ever crossed my mind. But that's how ignorance works. That's how discrimination and fear works in the minds of other people who don't really understand. I've been a model student. I was never a troublemaker. I never had a detention. I was part of, you know, student council. I was part of the newspaper and the yearbook. Anything academic and not athletic, pretty much, I was a part of. So I hadn't given them any reason to think that I would do something like that. Nevertheless, rather than just taking the GPAs and awarding this honor to the top student, they held a secret faculty vote. And the sad thing is, my mom was part of the faculty. So my mom had to witness behind the scenes what was going on, and that they decided to award this honor to someone other than me. The funny thing is, I was actually salutatorian, so I still got to give a speech, but there was kind of tarnished on the honor that I'd really set my heart on and, you know, really had looked to achieve. So that being the case, you know, I still delivered my speech with pride and dignity. And, you know, my family was very proud of me. Mm-hmm. I did not do anything to otherwise embarrass the school or church, but I knew I was moving on to bigger and better things. And that when I was, you know, a success or able to use my platform to tell my story, that this would be part of it. And that, you know, my contributions as an alumni would not be going back to that school, to that culture that had somehow discriminated against me for something that I'd earned. You know, at the funny thing is that at the time, I didn't know anything about the speaking industry. I didn't know that this would become my profession, my career, my my purpose. But as I exited college and ended up in the Speakers Bureau world through publishing and helping authors get on stages, and that's just kind of where my career got started, I all of a sudden got to be the one to pick the people that I worked with. I got to pick the authors that I thought would be good for the marketplace. And of course, I was going to pick the people who are marketable. But as I grew in my career, I also got to start to pick diverse voices. I got to start championing women, people of color, LGBT people, people that I really wanted to champion, because they were not the type of people that I saw when I started in the Speakers Bureau world, who were the highest paid speakers, who were the most in demand. That was typically reserved for the typical, like, white male executives or business leadership authors. And luckily that's changed over the years. But what started as this slight, this act of discrimination towards myself in the stage that I had really set my heart on in high school, really turned into a career where I now get to champion diverse voices, where I really get to help others get out there in the world, get their story heard, and give everyone that stage that I got to take a part of, even though if it was a little bit less than I had hoped.
Wow, Blair, that's incredible. Wow. So if you could give a piece of advice to somebody who is feeling like they're being discriminated and they're trying to do amazing things in the world, like, what kind of advice would you give them?
Yeah, I would say, you know, find the courage to tell your story, even if it's just to your friends at first, even if it's just you starting to share on social media, no matter what. I started writing a column in college that I was invited to write about my love life. And I was like, okay, sure. I want to show how my dating and, you know, romantic life is no different than anyone else's in college. And I got messages from people who were like, oh, I'm so grateful that you shared that. And people who felt very alone, people who were, you know, kind of not feeling represented in the world. You know, I think all of us have a responsibility, if you're feeling that way, to share your story. There's different organizations who have made this a focus in the LGBT community, and I'm sure in a lot of diverse communities where they've made a focus of allowing people to share where they came from. You know, I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, and then this high school I went to was in Greenville, South Carolina, but I went to college in Washington, D.C. Then I moved to New York City and Los Angeles, and these cities are filled with people who came from smaller places where they did not feel accepted, where they did not feel welcome, where they did not feel like there was people like them, where they could be their true, authentic selves. But I'm excited to see that change, you know, with Queer Eye and other shows where people are, you know, hopefully learning not just tolerance, but love and acceptance and equality, and that it's not about tolerance, it's just about general acceptance, that everyone's different in their own way, and it doesn't discrimination doesn't really have a place, hopefully, in our society and our culture. So I'd say find opportunities to share your story. Get out there, whether it's your school, your church, even any venue you have, because the more you do, the more opportunities you will have to share your story. So if you're getting started as a speaker, whether or not you're concerned that you're not going to be accepted or you're judged, you don't have any idea how many people you can impact just by getting started. And maybe you'll get some negative comments. Like, there's always going to be trolls out there on the internet or otherwise, but you don't have to pay any attention to them, because I guarantee that you're impacting far more people than who will say negative things against you. I'll say a funny story, and I don't think I've ever shared this story, but I was also the game show host in college. I went to American University, and we had a big school of communication, and we had this Pictionary type game show, and they asked me if I wanted to take it over for a couple semesters, and I thought it was fun. And I made it, we pit like sororities against fraternities or different groups against different and people, and it was just kind of a silly thing that you could only see on campus, so I'm sure our ratings were like maybe in the dozens at any given time. But I funnily enough, out of that, people, and this is when Facebook was just getting started, people created a hate group for me. But the funny thing is, there was five people in the entire group. And so my friends, as a joke, made like a fan club, and we had hundreds. So, I think that's just like a good example. Like, there's going to be haters, but I think that usually the people who are excited about you and who accept you largely outweigh those who don't, whether they comment positively or not. So I don't know. Share all that to say that, you put yourself out there, and you're going to open yourself up to, maybe criticism or comments that like can be ugly, but you're also opening yourself up to people who really need to hear your story, who really want to see someone like them represented.
Totally. I love that story, the hate club and then the fan club. I have to share this story with you and my audience really quick. So it was, I don't know, like, let me think. It must have been, it's over, been 9 years ago, because my first child was born about that time. And at the time, I was working in corporate America, and I had a client who was like, "Christine, I really would like for you to come in and be a model for my makeup guy. He's a makeup artist, and we want to do a YouTube video and blah, blah, blah." And I was like, so not interested. Okay. And I'm like, "Dude, I know you're probably having a really hard time finding an Asian in my age group in this area, because we live in Idaho Falls, Idaho, and there's just really not very many." And he goes, "You're right. And that's exactly why I need you. I mean, come on, please, you know?" And so I was like, "I just had a baby, I need him near me." And he's like, "I will bring a babysitter and snacks, and you'll see him the whole time." And I was like, "Okay, fine. Let's just do this." So I go and I do the whole shindig. I don't even care that the video is going to go on YouTube, and I'm like, whatever. And I never even cared to watch it. And 3 years later, I go onto the internet to look up how to do a smoky eye on an Asian eye. And the first thing that comes up is a video of this girl. And I was like, "Wow, she looks really familiar." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, that's me." That's me.
Oh, wow.
So I watch it, and then I read the comments, and it is like, "Oh my gosh, so mean. I cannot tell you how mean." I was like these people were like, "Oh my gosh, she talks so much. Are you sure she's Asian? Asian women usually don't talk that much. And gosh, I hate her freckles. And what the heck? Can't she just shut up?" And I was like, why do people ever put themselves out there on stages or on the internet? Cause they're just going to get slaughtered. There's just so many mean people out there. And then last year, when I decided, "Hey, I'm going to come out with my story," I was like, "You know what? My story is more important than any of those trolls out there." Because even if one person heard my story and it helped them to overcome fear to live a life that they love now, it'd be worth it to me. And so I've had to condition myself to say, "You know what? It doesn't matter." And I've become like this armadillo, where I have like this hard shell. And I just feel like, "Hey, go ahead, pelt me with whatever you got, because it's just going to bounce off me." And then anything that's like good constructive criticism, I roll over on my belly and I'm like, "I'm going to accept it because I want to become better." So anyways,
I love
I
it.
totally feel what you're saying. Love
Yeah, I
that
mean, it's such
story.
a great example. I mean, just something you're trying to help out a friend, you're trying to help out and like do something that already made you uncomfortable. You know, no one knows. I still never understand what compels people to make those kind of comments. I mean, I even, you know, have to stop myself from just making like a sarcastic comment to friends, much less like putting something out there publicly about someone you don't even know. But that just speaks to the sadness that other people have that, you know, or just maybe just the ignorance. But good for you for moving past that and being the armadillo. I love that. That image is great.
Thank you. I'm a little Asian armadillo. Anyhow, Blair, I want to know, how is it that my audience can connect with you after this podcast? Because I'm sure they will.
Sure. Well, you can find me on LinkedIn, Blair Bryant Nichols. That's why I like to use my full name. I'm pretty sure I'm the only one out there with that. And I'm always happy to chat about, you know, you as a speaker, anything else that I can be helpful with. You can also check out our podcast, Inside the Green Room with PV3, wherever you listen to podcasts. I think we do a pretty good job talking about the whole industry, lots of stuff about how we pivoted in this last year, and you know, from experts in the event space and the speaker space. People who've built their business by creating challenges or big speaking opportunities. So lots of great stuff there. And finally, I'd like to give a gift to your audience if they are
Oh,
speakers or
please.
they're
Thank
thinking
you.
about speaking. We have our digital event checklist. So a lot of times people ask, like, I was invited to speak on this stage. Like, what do I do? Or what do I say? And how do I negotiate this terms? And it's not about money. Like, everything is supposed to be a win-win. How can you, Christine, we talked about how can we support each other? How can we make this a win-win? So you can go to adventurereach.com/send-gift. Download our digital event checklist. It's honestly just a document that you can use in your conversations, how to both prepare for those types of stages and the questions to ask so that they know you're going to do a great job. You're going to customize, you're going to create something special for them, and just a resource to use. So check that out and reach
That's
out to me. Yeah,
awesome.
absolutely.
Thank you. I'm going to put that link in the show notes, but just in case anybody is like, I got to write it down right now. I've written part of it down. Advancereach.com/send. What else?
Send hyphen gift because we're going to send you a gift, and that gift is a digital event checklist. You'll see it when you go to the link right there, and you just enter your information and it'll get emailed to you right away.
Excellent. I'm so excited. Thank you so much for that generous gift.
Of
And
course.
last question for you, Blair. What does fulfillment mean to you?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm so grateful to be able to share my story. A lot of times I've been on podcasts and I really just jump into my expertise. I just jump right into what's going on in the event space, in the speaking space, and I don't really share more about myself other than my career or the places I've worked. So, Christine, I just want to thank you for opening up the space to allow me to do that.
Thank you.
And that's really what I think fulfillment means. It's understanding that you are now living in a circle of where you began and where you're going, and the circle continues. You know, a lot of times we end up taking steps backwards, but we're always moving forward. And I think being able to take a look at what I've dealt with and then, you know, how that affected my young adult life and some of the choices I made, and now how I'm able to create a business around supporting others, is what fulfillment for me really looks like, in building my own family and building, you know, a life that is just filled with people that I consider friends and family. Because, you know, even throughout difficult times, throughout my education or whenever, I always had good friends, and they always mattered more than anything. And if you can surround yourself with clients or people, colleagues that feel like friends and family, then no one, it never feels like work, at least for me.
I love that. Oh, Blair, this has been such an incredible conversation. I'm so excited to connect with you and support you on your journey after this. And thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you. And everyone, I hope you are on your way to living a fulfilled life as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode of The Fulfilled Life with Ming Ming. If anything you heard was inspiring or resonated with you, please subscribe, leave a review, and share this with your friends and family. I'm Christine Ming Ming Garner. I'll see you in the next episode. Until then, always remember, fulfillment is your birthright.